by KZFR 90.1 FM and the Black Resiliency Project. On this week's episode, we'll be discussing incarceration, addiction, recovery, fatherhood, and the power of second chances. I will be talking with Marcus Sanders about his journey of transformation and what it means to move Black forward. Welcome to our program. Marcus, welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here today. The opportunity to express myself and tell my story.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right in. Will you share with our listeners a bit about yourself and what brings you here today?
Well, I'm blessed with the opportunity, first of all. My name is Marcus Sanders. I'm a returning citizen. But most people don't know what a returning citizen is, someone that was formerly incarcerated. And I did approximately 20 years, but I've been free for 19. So now the rebuilding has been taking place. I'm a grandfather of 14. I'm a father of 6. I'm a homeowner, and I'm also a carpenter. And I'm also an author, and I'm also a professional poker player. Yes, yes.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. I got a few hats, you know what I mean? But it took a while for me to get there. But who I am a person that continues learning who I am as a person, and then the world around me has continued, things continue to change. It allows me to have a conversation with myself in order to see where I fit in at, because it's never about me no more, you know? Being the person that likes to be in them streets and stuff like that, it's always about you. But when you have a family, understand the value that you bring to being someone that they can depend on, it's a lot of weight to come with that. And I understand what that means now. And I'm 57 years old, you know? So, yeah, that's a part of who I am.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Marcus. I also want to share that we have Ife Saint in the room. He is our outreach coordinator for the Black Resiliency Project. And so he will be jumping in this conversation as well. So Ife, we're so thankful to have you here.
Hello. Thank you for introducing me, Rachel. Again, my name is Ife Saint. I work for the BRP Black Resiliency Program. And I appreciate being here to help weigh in on the conversation.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right in. So your story includes, like you shared, incarceration, addiction, rebuilding your life. Looking back, what was the turning point that made you decide your future would be different from your past?
Well, it's like it's not one fold or two fold, it's three folds. Because being when you're incarcerated, you sitting in a cell by yourself with some other guys that's really, we all telling a story to ourselves. All along, you're not having a conversation with yourself, which allows you to be able to start having to eat detailed and understanding the responsibilities that you have. And when you get free, it's like all those things that you was thinking that, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Yeah, all the stories you're telling to your wife, your kids, you have good intentions. But you really don't know what life is about to hand you when you're walking about them gates from after doing 10 years or 20 years. You could barely use it as a cell phone. You know what I mean? Now, these people are depending on you, and you trying to carry them all along. You did not really know what it is that you're about to deal with. You know, I'm going to give you a brief story. They let me out. I did 10 years. I worked for the fire department. I was in fire camp for 4 years over in Pascana, right outside of Corning. I had never been to this part of Northern California. I'm from the Bay Area. So my wife and kids moved from Pittsburgh to Chico because my family's out here. So to give the family some support, give my wife the support she need, which was supporting me. You know what I mean? That's a journey, you know, to do 10 straight years with somebody that you don't even know. You know, I met my wife while I was in prison. Yeah. Yeah, we've been married 30 years now. You know what I mean? Yeah, we've been married 30 years. So I said all I have to say this here, that when I went, I was 7 years behind the wall, went to Pascana, it's a fire camp out there called Salt Creek. And I worked from the bottom. From just being in the back of the bus all the way into the front. Now I'm the cat that got the microphone. I'm the one that got the medical pack. I'm second in command.
Started from the bottom, huh?
Yes, indeed. You know what I mean? But now here it is. I must understand responsibility is. Because I never paid a bill in my life. Mm. You know what I mean? I come from the era, you know, I'm 57, so you know what era I come from. You know, it's beeper bills and brick phones. You know what I mean? So I've never paid a bill in my life. Now I got 5 kids. I'm married. I got a whole house I got to take care of. And I'm telling myself I can do it.
It's a lot of responsibility.
All alone, I don't understand the magnitude that I didn't put myself into. Mm. But I have that faith with myself that I know how I can change and I can make these right choices. Because it's like, you know, majority of cats is coming out of prison. For sure, we'd be lying to ourselves. But we need that in order to give us the strength we need to make that jump. Because there's no way you in the streets not knowing you're going to prison. We out there like Superman, like we ain't never going to get knocked off. Yeah. The probability is like 99.9 that something's going to happen to you. You're going to lose your life or you're going to be sitting in somebody's cell. But I end up going into the fire camp. They let me free. They spent 3 years, I don't know how much money they spent to teach me how to be a firefighter. Now here it is, I land in Butte County. Go up to Firestone, which is off of, heading up to Cohasset. They like, oh yeah, we need you. You got 5,000 hours on the fire line.
5,000 hours?
5,000 actual hours on the fire line.
How long did you spend at the fire camp?
Almost 4 years.
Wow. Consecutively?
Consecutively.
Wow.
So now here it is. I go to Firestone right there on Cohasset. He said, oh man, we need you. I said, okay, well, let me go talk to my parole officer. Parole officers say, no. I say, huh? Y'all just spent all that money for me to be a firefighter and I don't like your tone. I said, okay. I'd go over her head. She said, she came to my house and she told me, you should never went over my head. You could work at McDonald's in front of my wife and my kids.
She came to your home.
To my home. My wife worked at the housing authority at that time. And she said, you work at McDonald's. Y'all be all right. Right there in front of my wife and my kids. And I was like, oh,
that's got to be some kind of fire under you.
Fire lit. Hmm. Now I'm like, you know what? You can send me back to the bay. For sure, I was going back to the bay within 2 weeks. Now here come the crash on my way down. Now I'm back everywhere I've been, all the cracks and crevices. And next you know, I'm drinking. The addiction kicking in. The alcohol is coming. Now I'm so miserable. I'm drinking alcohol and I'm riding back and forth from the Bay Area all the way to Chico with a fifth in the car. Catch 3 DUIs in a row. Now, the change took place when I sat up in that cell on that third one, seeing them tears from my wife and my kids, like, we dependent on you. How can you say you love us and this is what you're doing to us? And my wife and kids know he loves his brothers and sisters more than anything. And for years, I could never come up. You know, I'm an old slick cat. My tongue is wicked. So I'm like, I could never come up with nothing to be able to say to get her off me. And then the reality hit me. I say, you know, I love my brothers and my sisters. He's like, yeah. So you think I would do anything to hurt them? And she thought about it like, no, life is about choices. That's what I choose to do. Even though I was going through mental depression the whole time, I'm way out there. My wife and kids are out here. I'm depressed to the max. Got an awesome job, everything. So that last time I'm sitting in that cell and I say, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to see my folks go through that no more.
Would you say that was rock bottom for you? Like what? That was the event that made you realize you want to change your life?
Oh, that was it. Hmm. That was it. That third DUI. I bought a house right from across from PV, fresh out of prison. Hmm. You know what I mean? So many blessings was coming my way. You know, my wife and kids lived in an apartment, 5-bedroom. You know, in Chico, they got 5-bedroom apartments and stuff like that. Shh. But I'm fresh home. And I'm like, oh, man, yeah, I'm going to get us a house. Next thing you know, I got the house, brand spanking new. Working for CC Myers, building bridges. And another story that goes with that. I'm in fire camp and I'm working at the Corning Fair. And they doing the FFA with the kids, with the animals and everything. And it's this gentleman, he watching me. He's a free person. I'm an inmate. But I'm helping his wife get her booth set and he see how I'm running the crews. I'm moving all the pieces. And he walked up on me and said, hey man. You want a real job when you get out? I said, yes, sir. He said, you ain't gonna be doing what you was doing when they got you in there. Like, nah. He slid me his information. I walked up out of them gates 3 years later, called that man. That was 2005. It's 2026. He got me in the union. I'm still in the union today.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Can you go into more detail of what it was like going to these fire camp?
Well, the thing about my whole idea about fire camp, it was never about the fires. It was about the opportunity to put my wife and kids in a better situation as far as visiting. Because when you're in prison, behind the walls, your family being treated like inmates. You know what I mean? they're basically searching your wife and all the stuff. It's just very not a good situation to have your wife and kids coming into.
You don't want that for them.
No. So then it's like, okay, fire camp. I can go to fire camp. Everybody want to go to fire camp. I never thought about fire camp. But all I think is the benefits of fire camp.
Mm-hmm.
The food. You get to go out in the public. More space. More freedom for me to move around. And I ain't know there was so many blessings coming that way.
They could visit you there?
Oh, man. I was married, so I had family visits. So my wife and kids come stay for 3 days. You know what I mean? Come stay for 3 days, and I get to have a conversation with them. If something's going on in school, I get to really, you know, chime in with them. I get to spend time with my wife. I get to cook, whatnot. And the visiting era, wasn't 200 people in the visiting room. It's more like 25.
So, Marcus, you shared about all the successes, and those are easy to see. Could you describe for me maybe what that day felt like when you first had to go back in after the DUIs?
I just got chills just thinking.
Yeah, explain that to me.
To realize, it's like a reliving a moment that you don't want to have to deal with. For me, it was the reality of that I'm human and that I let the people down that depended on me most. And it was shame. It was like, I can no longer puff my chest out like, yeah, I know I'm the guy. I know what I'm. Nah, man, you just fumbled the ball for the whole family. You know, understanding that was something that I never had to deal with in my life. You know, consequences. My wife would tell you in a minute, life is about consequences. But I come from a culture that ain't no consequences. It's life or death. And everything in between of it is what it is. You know what I mean? But now when you hurt somebody that you love, and then you see the kids looking at you with it, and now the wife, the conversation no longer the same. The hugs are not the same. The appreciation is not there. So it's like an uphill battle. You still trying to get back to that. And you never can because you lost it. That faith that you had in it, that was the biggest, what's the pain that I still deal with to this day. You know, we good, you know what I mean? But we ain't good as we was when we first started. You know what I mean? And understanding that I inflicted that pain on them. Me taking accountability for that, that's where my growth took place at. I can't say I would change everything because I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Right. What do you think service-wise could have filled in that gap so that you didn't find yourself alone, drinking, back in the Bay Area, back in a community that wasn't benefiting you at that time?
For me, as I didn't grow and understand the journey that's take place. Like I was telling these young men here today that accountability is a cold thing. It is one of them things that people never, 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 especially if you come from that street life, being accountable, because if you was accountable, you wouldn't do none of the stuff that you was doing. You know what I mean? So now as you transition, you start understanding, you start having empathy, you start being considerate of other people, you start being patient, you start being understanding. In that street life, you don't have none of that because it don't go with the game that you in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So services, realizing right now, I came home to everything you can imagine. Wife, kids, home, family, car, everything. Money, everything. And I fumbled the ball. So I think the biggest thing that most people need coming out of them prison is a mentor, period. They need a mentor before they even get home. You got to have, because it's like, okay, you in there, they're getting bits and pieces of stories while they're in there. They're getting the wife conversation, they're getting the streets conversation, they're giving the other inmates conversation, and everybody having dreams of what they want to be and what they was. But life is going to keep life, and it's going to stay. And the longer you out here, you're going to keep dealing with things that you never saw was coming your way. But the longer you out here, that muscle of understanding, that resilience muscle, allows you to be able to get over those obstacles. Because that 1 year is different than that 2 year, that 15 year, that 20 year. It's always something coming your way.
Is this what you wished that a mentor could have told you?
Oh, ain't no doubt. But it has to be like we would call them credible messages.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come talking to me and you've been in a book. You can't come talking to me about, I can take some of the information because I'm wiser now. But you're talking about somebody fresh. You got to be somebody that didn't travel that road. Because somebody can talk to you and they'll say something and you'd be like, excuse my language, he full of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you'll run into some and they'd be like, okay, yeah. Oh, he know what time it is. And because the respect got to be there. You know what I mean? It's like they asking for respect, but they don't know really what respect. But you got to spoon feed them because everybody got they puffed up. But that mentorship is a key in order for us to be able to get to these kids and these cats that's coming home.
Yeah. You talked about resilience a little bit, and I'd love you to expand on what that means for you and also share about the tools you've created in response to the need, like the books, the magazines.
Yeah.
Those different
things. Well, you know, like I was talking to you, me and Rachel, we had an opportunity to meet each other in BSAT program. You know what I mean? And I'm a part of an organization called RCA, Returning Citizens Association. Our founder is a young guy that I've been knowing since he was a young pup. We was in them streets. He did like 26 years. And I have been home, but I live up in the mountains of Norville. I live on 7 acres. You know what I mean? And I just trying to keep my peace. So I'm really not around nobody unless I come down and see my family. You know what I mean? My aunties and cousins. So I'm sitting on the internet and I see, what do you got going on over there? But I respect this young man. And I see another cat that I respect. Not from no fear, no nothing, just that as a person. So I'm like, if he doing, what they got going on? It's like when somebody got a secret going on, you don't want to know what that is. I'm like, hey, man, what y'all got going on? And he tell me. Boom, I popped up off that couch. And next thing, I've been on and running for the last 2 years and some change. Because he know I got a story to tell these kids. He know that I got an opportunity to be able to give them information that they don't know. You know what I mean? And it's delivery. But the resilience part for me is always me personally. Being accountable allows you to be resilient because you don't have no guilt on you. You take it and say, hey, man, that's what it is, and I'm going to keep pushing. You know what I mean? We never giving up, no matter what's going on around us.
Keep moving forward.
We got to keep moving forward, period. You know what I mean? And the tools, the main tools that I use is, number one, me having a conversation with myself, being around solid people. That gives you different information that allows you to see life in a different light. You know what I mean? So for me, and being able to be thankful, because, like, you know, it may seem cliche, but somebody didn't wake up this morning. You know what I mean? It's like, I ain't got no battery attached to me. My body heals on their own. We ain't got nothing to do with that. So appreciate the moments you got. And then everything else, it just becomes easy. You know what I mean? Because they'd be like, I'm gonna keep it one. I'm at work and it's a bunch of Hispanic brothers and they like, man, how old are you, Marcus? He say, I said, man, I'm 57. There's another brother, he's 60, he worked there. He said, man, no, you're not 57. He said, why y'all look like that? I
said, look like, what does he mean?
Laughing. But what he said, some of their people may look at 57, may look older. I said, man, we ain't worried about the same things y'all worried about. We not worried about the same things y'all worried about. They wonder why we'll be out there splashing the water. Yeah, the lights came off, whatever. We're going to figure it out. We have that resilience built in our DNA. That's just what it is. You know what I mean? And I have to give, when it comes to my wife, I have to give her the utmost because I don't know how she deal with me through. I may go to depressed and be, I may drink 3 straight weeks in a row
Are there any like misconceptions? Maybe you told yourself that you had to move past to grow?
Well, the ultimate is you have to make the decision. So you really have to have a conversation with yourself. It doesn't matter what's going on around you.
Accountability,
responsibility. But ultimately, you have to have that conversation with yourself. You know how many times each one of us have a conversation with ourselves every day, all day about everything? We do it every day, all day. But we let all outside influences dictate on how we're going to move because we want to be seen in a certain light.
Got to move forward.
We got to move forward. What are you doing it for? You're doing it for the likes. You're doing it for the views. You're doing it for somebody over there. You're doing it for somebody over there. When you start doing stuff for you, boy, life starts getting a whole lot easier. And it's not being selfish. And, you know, we hear that word selfish and people just, it's negative condemnation. No, man, that's my protect my peace so I can help us all move forward.
Beautiful. So what I'm hearing is put your mask on first.
Yeah. You got to take care of yourself first. So you can take care of people around you.
Yeah, because you can see a picture of it. You know what I mean? It's like you could be able to, like I'm in a class and I could say something like that. Like, oh, you know, on the airplane, this is what they say, such and such. And it's like, okay, yeah, you got your baby there. But you got to protect yourself first so you can help your child.
That's what they say.
Because the baby can't help you.
Because I remember when I was a kid, I always questioned that. I'm like, well, does that make sense? What about the kids? What about the people that need help first? No, you need people that can help to take care of themselves first.
Beautiful. So what I'm hearing is, you've got kind of like 5 steps to focus on. So being accountable, being thankful, keep moving forward. So using that energy that you get from being thankful and recognizing where you need to be accountable and using that to move forward. And then having good partnerships. Everyone may not have a partner in a relationship, but you may have a coworker that you can connect with and help support you. And then the final thing, protect your peace.
You got to protect your peace. You know, and one thing about, for me, my family structure is strong. That's what my wife said. He and all he loves is his brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? Because that knit is what it is. My family, everybody be like, man, you guys are just, y'all just so tight. Like, I don't see it being nothing, no other way, because that's just what it is. So it's normal to us. You know what I mean? We just like, we text every morning, good morning, have a wonderful day. You know what I mean? Okay, this is the motivation for the day. My sister, okay, you know, she's a 911 operator, so she gonna say something slick. You know what I mean? My brother's, he's an armed guard, so he always go bring us uplifting. You know what I mean? And I'll be like, I always lead it off. Good morning, clan. Y'all have an amazing day. You know what I mean? Grandkids, however I'm feeling. You know, just like I just, 2 days ago, get a phone call, 17-year-old grandkids, it's two of them. Hey, Papa, you at home? Yes, I am. Not at home? All right, we just want to see you. And they drove up to the mouth, bounced to that door. Hey, Papa, whoop. All along, got the great niece in the house, the other grandkids, she's 6 years old. One come from L.A., like, oh, I want to go, where are you going? I'm going to go stay with Nana and Papa. So, you know, when you get those things around you, your life start blossoming, blooming. You like, man, I'm so thankful I made it to this point. Because I could have crashed out and I would have never saw none of this. So I can be able to be a mentor and be able to understand these steps of what you're going to go through in life. All that transition. I'm still growing. Yeah, you have moments where you just be stuck in life. Ooh, they whooped me. Life whooped me today. Life whooped me today. But I'm going to sit in my chair and marinate on it and be thankful while I wake up in the morning. Oh, I got another chance. I may not go fast, but I got one foot in front of the other and I'm moving. You know what I mean? And I was thankful. I was appreciative to somebody that day. I was courteous to somebody that day. You know what I mean? Or somebody was being a jerk to me that day. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, you know, life, man, life keep lifing.
So when you think about reentry, returning citizens, the term moving Black forward, what sparks for you?
For me, unfortunately, it's that moving Black forward is something that we've always had to do because we get caught up in everybody else's narrative. And the only way we can get to moving Black forward is understanding that, hey, man, we need to rock with each other in order for us to get where we need to go, because it's like we are the continuous persecution of everything. So moving Black forward economically, physically, financially, to the story, whereas though we have great ideas, we can sit and chop with each other and come up with a solution to whatever it is. You got to remember, we come from nothing. So we ain't going nowhere. So it's like, okay, how can we make sure the kids is good? Because if we left it to them right now, it'll be tore up. You know what I mean? So we got to be able to lace them in order. They got to fight with them. They got to intellect with it. But that passion that we talking about is rooted in things you done saw, that them hunger pains you done felt. You know what I mean? That loss you done seen. You know, so understanding that part and not being caught up in everybody else's narrative about what everything else is going on. And it starts at home. That's absolutely why I say my main thing is always with my kids and my grandkids, where they can have a conversation with Papa and be like, it's right there. Because I know I ain't going to always be here. I'm going to give you some information that you're going to be able to use later on. Like my grandparents, they gone. Now I'll be like, oh. Now I know my grandma was, but she told it to me years ago. You know what I mean? So being around like-minded people that had the same understanding allows you to move a little faster. But if you don't stay grounded yourself and moving Black forward on how you're spending your money, how you're spending your time and all these type of things, it's not going to help. Not individuality, individualism. You know what I mean? It's something that most people living on right now. You can see it all day. Me, 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 me. You know what I mean? So for me, moving Black forward is being around the right people, having some good ideas, and putting a plan together. Small pockets, you know what I mean? Because you got small organizations, but then you got the big organizations. And they like, oh, you like, I got, that's a nice idea. Oh, yeah, man, I'm gonna help you. And swallow you up. You got to protect your brand, unfortunately, even the people that look like you. You know what I mean? So, you know, for us, it's little pockets. These homegrown groups is what's going to keep it moving. You know what I mean? That's going to keep us moving forward. But that's what I see.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And especially the lacing up. Yeah. Our young people need that. What do you want the listeners to walk away from with today?
For people that's, we would say, system impacted people. From the phone calls, to the letters, to the money you send, and to the visits, to the cat that's in prison or the one that's on his way. For the cat that's on his way to prison, understand your moves costed your whole family. So you got to be accountable for the moves that you make. And understand it's never just about you. It may be about you at that moment, but after it's all said and done, who are we depending on? The wife, the sister, your brother, your grandmother, your mother. Financially, we was already hurt. Now you just put some more strain on, but you say you love me. You know what I mean? You got to understand the respect and understanding of being a person with just being accountable allows you to just give your family peace.
You've shared so much today. Mm-hmm. How can someone get in contact with
you? They can call you for sure. you can get in touch with me on returntocitizensassociation.org and email to say Marcus Sanders. You want to speak to Marcus Sanders. Also, we have a mentorship program that we open to recipients. We got a 12-week resilience program that's nice. Oh yes. And then you know they got so many videos with me. So like Erica Garcia, I mean Erica out from Fairview. She showed a videotape of me to the kids during my one speaking engagement. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I want you to come in. Oh, so when I walked in there, the kids were like, oh, that's that guy from the video. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, just getting data in order for the people to know that these people are out here to help the community. This is what I'm out here for. And one thing about, I love Butte County, but they got some gatekeepers out here. They got gatekeepers out here. You know what I mean? But, hey, I'm going to still push. I'm going to keep pushing.
Well, thank you so much for being here today and the stories you shared and just being so transparent and vulnerable with us. And thank you for being a resource in the community. My goodness.
Hey.
So, yes.
I want to say thank you for having me. You know, this opportunity is one that I've been looking forward to. And we're going to continue to do the work wherever we can and speak truth. You know what I mean? That's what it's about. And being an example. It's the key. You can say what you want to say, but if you can't show me how to do it, then I don't know how to do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for joining us for Moving Black Forward. To learn more about the Black Resiliency Project, please visit blackrp.org. That's black, blackrp.org. We can also be reached at 530-907-7882. And yes, you can also use that number to reach out to Marcus. Please keep moving forward.
Welcome to the Project Censored radio show on Pacifica Radio. I am your co-host, Eleanor Goldfield. And this week on the program, a special full show with Palestinian author, historian, and academic Dr. Ramzi Barood about his latest book, Before the Flood, a Gaza family memoir across three generations of colonial invasion, occupation, and war in Palestine. Dr. Barood takes us through longue durée, a history that has not been amputated and distorted by colonial narrative. He explains the failings of corporate media, of political discourse, and the need for oppressed peoples to tell their own stories without countering, without arguing the points of the oppressor. Because dignity cannot be divided. Freedom cannot be sectionalized. That's coming up right now, this week, on Project Censored.
crimes perpetrated by the criminal minds, political ties, habitual lies, alibis, disguise, and other guys of democracy.